This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
And we turn our attention to the Horn of Africa now, to Ethiopia. And I'll just have a little preamble before I introduce the conversation that we're having with Professor Mamo Muchi, who is a professor at the Pan-African, or Pan-African scholar at TUT. So we know that the leader of the opposition, John Steenhuisen, has visited Ukraine, and fair enough, there's no issue with that. There is a huge humanitarian crisis in Ukraine. But he also made a statement in his voice, in a soundbite with the South African National Public Broadcaster, saying that it's important for him to do a fact-finding mission to Ukraine because it's sort of the last bastion of democracy. I paraphrase, but basically, democracy is under attack in Ukraine. Don't think I agree with that. But what really got my attention is, for the longest time, the people of Ethiopia have needed all of us, including myself here at Power 98.7, to talk about the situation that they have undergone since year 2020 as carnage and devastation and war between the North Tigray region and the rest of the country was unleashed and really displaced many, many people internally in Ethiopia. It's a situation and a crisis that's even gained the attention in the United States, to the point where the U.S. Congress was requested by President Joe Biden to come up with a resolution of aid support, but also sanctions against those who are seen to be perpetrators of the conflict in the Tigray region. So the issue is, you know, do lives of African people not matter? And does the preservation and protection of democracies on the African continent not warrant a little bit more attention, to the point where there would be fact-finding missions? Or is there this kind of fatigue over crises in Africa? And even if there is fatigue, is it an excuse for us to watch a burgeoning democracy undermined by this kind of conflict? So that's my preamble. But now let's talk about what's going on and get an update on the situation in Ethiopia. As I said, the human carnage and heritage destruction in Ethiopia's Tigray region began in November of 2020. It's been really devastating. Thousands have been killed. Millions have been displaced. Historical monuments have been damaged. And many women have been raped when rape and sexual violence is used as an act of war. Well-documented human rights violations. The Ethiopian government announced in late March that it had declared a unilateral truce, trying to facilitate a flow of humanitarian aid to end the conflict and further bloodshed. We've seen the intervention of countries in the Middle East. It's said that Saudi Arabia, I stand to be corrected, provided some of the military arsenal that has helped the Ethiopian government defend its positions against the Tigray attack. Let's get a better perspective now. Professor Mamo Muchi, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning. Long time no hear from you, but it's very nice to hear your overall description, the way you connected all the all the different challenges the world is facing now.
Thank you very much. And you can reprimand me now. Am I wrong to say, yes, we can focus on Ukraine, but may we not forget the people of Ethiopia?
Yes, but I think my worry is that when external actors focus on Africa, they usually prioritize their own interest first and their own agenda. The reason is we Africans, our agency, our identity in terms of making sure that what we value comes first is not recognized very well. So my suggestion is, I really like us to focus why we in Africa, when we say we have the Africa Union, but we still do not act when major conflicts happen, that we still continue to outsource them. And the former colonial powers, like the French, the British, and then even the Americans and others, all external actors now are also getting engaged. So there is some challenge that we really need to address. We Africans must really know how to focus on real challenges we face. And then other external actors can come only when we know how to see if they could support us. But if they come and then they do it as their own agenda, then it's a problem.
Yeah, when they lead in the diplomacy, yeah. Thank you for that perspective. And we can discuss the AU in a second. But just for historical context, what exactly has been going on in Ethiopia and what triggered it? What is this tension between the country and the Tigray province in the north?
You see, the it's a very important question you ask. Remember in 1991, when the Tigray People's Liberation Front came to power, and what happened? They had a meeting in London, and there was the central, the American CIA and the British intelligence, all of them were together. They was in a meeting in London. I was the chairman of the Ethiopian community in Britain. I actually mobilized about 2,000 people and protested against it. What they did was, that was a decision was made to actually create a kind of ethnic apartheid in Ethiopia. Ethiopia, from a geographical region, it turned into language-driven regions were created, states were created. So we have now nine states, the Tigray state, Oromo state, Amhara state, all right, Beneshangul, all these kind of places were created. And what happened was that in each state was almost independent. And if you people come from another state, you see, they are seen as foreigners. So the country was divided. This was what the Italians did when they came in the Second World War. They said, if the Ethiopians are united, they will defeat us as they did in the Adwa victory. We don't want that Adwa victory to happen. Okay, which, so, in fact, you see, that's what happened. So to do that, let's do division of labor. Let's divide them ethnically. And
So you've had sort of Bantustans in the South African equivalent.
Absolutely. Absolutely, exactly the same thing. What you removed in 1994, they created it in 1991. And that's what. And then Eritrea got split from Ethiopia. That happened. That was supported at that time. That division happened. The weakening of Ethiopia was important for them because they said that that's a country that's independent. And if this country becomes powerful and successful, then it gives an example to the rest of Africa. So Africans will say, well, when we're independent, we're powerful. Right. When we're divided, we will not be. That kind of thing is what that lesson they didn't want.
So, Professor, what subsequently happened is later on, this region, Tigray, of the Tigray people in the north, close to Eritrea, had a situation where a lot of their intelligentsia and most powerful elite became the leaders of Ethiopia in a post-Derg state. So for a long time, the Tigrays have been running the affairs of Ethiopia, but there was some sort of a transfer of power or a government of national unity about 3-4 years ago, which brought in people from other regions in the form of President Abiy, and he introduced a new system which is preparing for democratic elections at the moment.
Yes, then what, you are right. What happened was the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front has been there for nearly 27 years. So the other groups from the Oromo area, the Oromo Liberation Front and others, they also said that they should also come to power. So what you have now, what is really sad, is that the constitution, that constitution I just mentioned to you, the ethnic-based Bantustan constitution is still there. Even though the Abiy government says they want to create a new system, a democratic system, it hasn't come yet. There's still the constitution, that ethnic constitution. The Tigray People's Liberation Front constitution is still there.
Okay.
Until they change the constitution, the what you are suggesting, a democratic system, will not come. What we are now hearing is that in the period when the TPLF was there, there was an area called Wolkait Tegede. They found out that over 59,000 people have been in the grave. There was a study done by the University of Gondar. The scientists did the study, and you would not believe what has come out. The kind of a lot of people have been suffering, even women, many things, not to have children if they are Amhara, and also to say they are saying that one Tigray man must have children for five Amhara women. Okay. This kind of to change the number of the population. Okay. Many strange things have happened. You will not believe what has happened.
So you are alluding to an alleging ethnic cleansing and sorts of genocide in the north of the country. So let's come to this era now and this conflict that we're seeing. The way it's been explained to me is that the people of the TPLF or the Tigray people can't accept that they are no longer in power. And so this new government that is inclusive, that is in formation, is something that they're trying to sabotage because they can't let go of power after nearly 30 years of being a dominant ethnic group in Ethiopia. Is that what's led to the conflict?
Yes, you are right. The Tigray People's Liberation Front say they have created a transitional government, their own government now. So, and now I heard they are getting, America has sent a consulate, even in the embassy consulate in the Tigray area. And America, you know, they have in the Congress, they have HR, what they call 6600 S3199, these kind of things where they are trying to also support them. So they are getting, and even Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International, all of them are having influences because they said they have so much money outside, and they are influencing a lot of actors also to try to support them. So what they are now doing, to be honest with you, is that they want an independent, a kind of independent Tigray. But it's very, very difficult to create an independent Tigray Republic. Mm-hmm. The people of Tigray, what we are hearing now, there's a professor from Canada. Her name is Professor Anne Fitzgerald. She wrote, I don't know how she did the study, but she did data collection by sampling a lot of the people. The ordinary people, even in Tigray, are very, very upset with them because they don't want to separate from Ethiopia. But this TPLF cadres, the politicians, they want to do the separation. Okay. That's what is being reported.
So the conflict that we're seeing is a kind of an antithesis against a dominant new order in the country. So, so that's the first thing that's happening. It's also a struggle for some kind of independence for this region that might want to break away. And in their attempts to break away, they're getting support from the Americas and European actors who are supporting either a regime change or a breakaway state. Is that what you're saying?
Mainly what we are now seeing is that the external world, particularly from the West, they are still connected to them. Because initially, as I mentioned to you, they are the ones that supported them to divide Eritrea from Ethiopia and to also divide Ethiopia into Bantustanism. They allowed that. Now, the TPLF is now saying that they cannot continue with the new government. If they don't, they want to be independent. So when they are doing that, they are not saying, so we cannot break Ethiopia. We are not hearing this from America, from all the other countries. The only ones that we hear mainly that support Ethiopia are Russia, China, these countries. They are not against Ethiopia separation. They don't want the country to be split. But I have not heard anything very openly from the Western world. That's what I see. And my worry is that because Ethiopia has always been an example, a decolonized country, one that fought all the time, and then it's a country that really is for Africa, an African example. It's Africa.
Yeah, it's never even been colonized. The Ethiopians tried, they just settled, but they couldn't actually colonize it as a whole. So Ethiopians have always governed themselves. So where are we now, Prof, in terms of a ceasefire for humanitarian corridor, diplomacy for peace talks, if ever, and the AU, if all these other countries are pursuing their own imperialist interests, what then is the African Union doing about it? I mean, it's even headquartered in Ethiopia.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that question. Very, very important question. The African Union must act strongly. And even the rest of Africa, even countries like important countries like South Africa and others, should not be quiet on this. They should get engaged, not worry so much about Ukraine and others. They should worry about us in Africa when there are many conflicts like that. We should now try to solve our own conflicts. I mean, as you know, we are the richest continent in this planet. What don't we have? But why do we have all this conflict? Look at the DRC Congo. What don't the DRC have? But the Belgians, the French, all of them are creating conflict in that places. So what we need is, in the same way, Ethiopia is in this difficult situation now. So what we need is really a genuine engagement by Africans to solve this problem. What we're hearing from the Ethiopian side is that they are saying the government and this TPLF, they are trying to negotiate. We hear this. But at the same time, there's fighting. How can you have both? You can't fight and you can't negotiate. Negotiation and fighting. What's going on? And also the humanitarian crisis, they say, even the TPLF says, the international world is not also giving them support. They say things like that, despite the fact that the international side is more with them than with the current government in Ethiopia. So what I don't understand is the you don't even know the facts. Which are the true facts? How could we find the evidence? What's going on? And I think the confusion is incredible. The complexity is incredible, I'm telling you. And it's very worrisome for all of us. As you rightly said, you even worried. We're all worried. I mean, when these things like that happen, and we don't know exactly what the facts are. And I think a real negotiation, a real reconciliation, a real solution where Ethiopia moves from war to peace and security, this time, no more delaying. It's very, very important. That has to happen. And I think it's also for the Tigray people, and also is important. But this TPLF has been acting very, very badly because it has been using the colonial divide and rule tactic on Ethiopia. And of all places in Africa, that is a country we should never use it. And since they have been doing this, I think the time must be for all of us, even all the citizens, even civil society, all of us, the media like you, like intelligently as you are doing it. We should all do things like that to make sure that really we resolve this problem and not make it continue any further.
We've got a caller coming through, but just before that, in their defense, the people of the Tigray region and even their fighters, they believe that they've been victimized. And in fact, some are even asking for political asylum in countries like Sudan because they say that the new Ethiopia has been very unwelcoming of them.
No, I think this is not how true this is complicated. I think the situation is this. They started the war, as you rightly put it, in November 2020, November 3, 2020. Mm. And if they started it and they killed the people they killed in the military force that was there, a lot of them, they say there were about 1,200 were killed. And a lot of them were called Amharas. Mm. And then in their manifesto, you know, when they started their liberation struggle in 1968, in their manifesto, they called the Amhara the sworn enemy, their sworn enemy. Mm. And they have been fighting them, you see. That's what they have been doing. So what has happened now, I really think, I mean, because of this conflict situation, you know, it's not the government of Ethiopia only. It's them too. Yeah. You see, they are also affecting, if you see for what this professor wrote, she's saying that that they want the ordinary people to contribute their children to go to war, to join. Instead of joining, they have to go to they have to migrate, things like that. So they are also the reason for the people of Tigray to move away to Sudan and other places.
So they're creating oppression for their own people. Sipo in Johannesburg. Good day.
Yes.
Refreshing morning, Sister Lerato, and to Professor Mamuchi. Salamna, Prof. Prof,
let's Salam, Tenasli.
Tenen, tomorrow being your one of the important days in the history of Ethiopia, Ethiopian Liberation Day, the return of Haile Selassie through the South Sudan. Why am I raising this, Sister Lerato? Is the liberation of Ethiopia still being captured by the West? Why is this conflict taking so long? And I'm happy that he raised the role of the mediation, but he will recall that our then former president Kgalema Motlanthe was an envoy of the then chairperson of the AU. And I think even now, Mark Sally as well, he's concerned about this conflict. And finally, I think also for Prof, with this conflict that is going on, what about the Nile conflict, the Nile dispute of Egypt and Sudan? How does it come into the picture? At the same time, North Sudan and the South Sudan conflict, how does it impact on Addis Ababa? Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for the question. Thank you. I think what you are saying is very important. When a Liberation Day is coming, we still have a conflict, and the conflict, the biggest problem challenge we have is we don't know exactly the political actors. They all say they are negotiating, and they are also fighting. So what is happening? Even the TPLF guys are saying they are open to negotiation, but at the same time, they are continuing the fighting. So what I we don't understand is, and exactly external actors are also involved. A lot of people are saying that with the TPLF, the Egyptians and Sudan and others also are behind them. They say that. I mean, how true it is, I don't know. But that's what you're saying. And then what you brought, very important, the Grand Renaissance Dam. I think this issue is very, very critical, because sometimes recently they just said there were some threats against the dam, but for some reason the Ethiopian government says that they managed to make sure that the damage they want to do, those who are trying to do it, they were able to remove it. Something like that is happening. So it's not yet clear how the situation will evolve. And both on the regional areas also, our own regions, the Horn of Africa governments, that area, they are not also united. Yeah. See, there's no, there should have been now, by this time, we should have agreed on the dam, on the dam issue, because the electricity is now being generated, starting, and the water level is not going to affect. I mean, they should agree on a situation where nobody's hurt. Everybody gains. A win-win situation can be created. Things like that are not being done properly because the politicians are complicated. The biggest disaster in Africa is politics. The politicians are not really there. The leadership is very, very weak. All right? And they have really made serious damage to a continent that should never be in this mess, despite the fact that this is a continent that has great values, great philosophies, many things that what doesn't Africa have. We have everything, but for some reason our politicians are more interested in their pockets than in serving the people and in serving Africa. That's the biggest problem, and that's why we have this conflict continuing. It should never be continuing at all. Should have been stopped a long time ago.
Thank you so much for joining us, Professor Mamo Mucci, who is a Pan-African scholar at TUT, talking to us about the conflict in Ethiopia, mainly concentrated in the northern part of the country known as the Tigray region, where the Tigray people are originally from. It's a conflict that has sort of an internecine ethnic element to it, but there's a complexity there in that elite politics is also at play, because the Tigray have been in power for the larger part of Ethiopia's post-communist era, for the last 27 years, since 1994. But if you're asking yourself, okay, Lerato, why should I care? Well, many reasons. First, because it's something happening on the African continent. We should care. African lives matter. Secondly, because, as has been mentioned, Ethiopia has built a Renaissance dam, drawing on the waters of the Nile, so making it a very strategic player in the whole of Africa and East Africa. With this regard, it has a population of more than 100 million people, so a huge market, such a huge market that both the Americans and the Chinese have recognized its potential, and the Chinese have pumped a lot of money into Ethiopia, setting up new manufacturing zones to produce goods in Africa. We've been told that even the first made in Africa cell phone is currently being manufactured in Ethiopia, or certainly the intellectual property around it has been developed in Ethiopia. It's a new democracy, and democracy should be protected, an inclusive country that was forged in the era of 2019. And for his efforts, the newly appointed Prime Minister of Ethiopia, Prime Minister Abiy, was awarded a Nobel Peace Prize in 2019 for his efforts to unite a country that had been divided on ethnic lines for the longest time. And those gains are receding. And that's the democracy, or the effort for democracy, that also needs Pan-African attention.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.